This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So it was a good week. Who managed to tie a few knots after last week? Who managed to practice those knots? But you see, if you willingly practice these things, the Lord will give you opportunity to use it. That's what I want to give you today. It's just that key and use it. But in the same way, I was challenged immensely this week. You see, Sunday when we left here, that's a thing about being a pastor. You stand up in the front here, and then you say all these things. And then the Lord says, okay, but it's you first. Remember I gave you that key in terms of praying for people in a row when you stand in a supermarket or at Spot or wherever. You just stand there and you start praying for them, allowing Christ to touch them. And you pray for calmness. So Sunday afternoon was my calmness because I wasn't at the back. I was right in the front. And I had to pray and I had to say, Lord, now you don't touch the other people. Please touch me. But I stay calm. So if you ask for it, you will receive it. But Monday morning, I woke up with a big shock and I realized I had to write a small test about a statement of faith for Shofar Church. 41 pages. 25 questions. They could ask you anything. And I was standing there, I was like, and then you get the first question which says, I agree that I've read through the whole constitution and statement of faith, which includes it, and that the following 24 questions I will not do, I will do with a closed book. Okay, so they're not here to watch me because it's an online thing. And then you get to that place of saying, okay, Lord, what am I going to do now? So who would have had the Constitution in front of them and do the test? Be honest, hands up. That was my initial, thanks, dankie Ronaldo. So that was my initial thing. I was like, nobody's going to see me. And then the words came back from that one guy who had to do it when I was in Cape Town. He sat there and he's like, I said to him, well, what's the problem, man? You just have the page in front of you and you do it. He says, They don't see me, but the Lord sees me. Yo, I was convicted. So I had to do the test without the pages. Closed it. And I did read through it. But obviously, my wife will tell you that the top part of the egg of my head is lost. And so I forget things quite quickly. But I do remember them, and when I remember them, it's stuck. So in writing these two, or this test, I did reasonably well. And I was quite chuffed myself, but then I realized, what does the last two pages of this thing really consist of? And I stood there, and I was like, Lord, but this is something more powerful than I actually anticipated, and this is not just a test, it's a test of character for me as well, as to what does my statement of faith say to the world out there. So if I say the following word to you, and I'm going to try and not give away either your age or the movies that you watch, but if I say to you, freedom. Okay, does that stick to you? Okay. But if I say, freedom! Does that stick to you? What movie are we talking about? So yes, the famous William Wallace. All right, he's on horseback and he rides in front of people. But his name is not significant as much as what he stood for. Because he stood for freedom. That was his main aim and goal in life, is to be free. And when he went to battle, when he stood before those Scottish men, and before they went into battle, they did not know what was in his heart, but they knew what they saw was freedom because it was on his face. That was what he stood for. That was his key thing. The moment that he got on horseback and he was riding along, going from place to place, people did know one thing: William Wallace, freedom. So I want us to watch a quick video clip this side. Does that psych you up? Slightly. But the way that he says it, the way that he portrays his message, is one of those things that you do not just sit still and, yes, we're going to go for freedom. No. He had a statement. He had a battle cry, and people believed in that battle cry because he believed in it. So in compelling my test, I realized, what does my statement of faith say to the world? If I think of the covenant, the Ark of Covenant, and the way that the Israelites moved with it, and now I've got to portray that message to the world, what does it say about me? If I say I'm a Christian, and I believe that Christ died for my sins, and that I'm saved today, do I say that to the world out there? See, your statement of faith, your battle cry, must be part of your DNA. It must be so nestled in, so deeply engraved, that it cannot be removed from you. So in essence, before you believed in Christ, and I really hope that's the case, your statement of faith would look quite different than your statement of faith today, or your battle cry back then, to what it is today. Am I right? Whose battle cry is still the same from before he met Christ? Just hands up. Please, down with the hands and let's speak about it. Because we want our statement of faith to change. We want our battle cry to be different. Those guys had a battle cry. Then William Wallace came up and he's like, no. You can run. You're going to live for a while, but then it's going to catch up with you again. Yeah, you've got a chance to be free. No matter what the outcome is going to be in the world, you have a chance to be free. And amazingly enough, before this, my statement of faith normally was something in the line of one for all and all for one. Cling! Tsh! And then there would be a loud cheer. Okay, so people that was one of my key statements of faith. You know, people would know that about me. I'm a happy person. You know, drink in the one hand, happy to be alive, just happy to be everywhere, and just tish, and there you go. But the thing is, which one do you stand for? And when you go out there, is it loud enough that people can hear it? You see, the statement of faith for William Wallace and his people and the guys that wanted to fight resonated with something that they could relate to and they could believe in. They could form part of this community that stood together, that believed in one thing. And for them, it was freedom. And that was their cause. That was what they engaged in. And the enemy, and the enemy line that stood in front of them, which was maybe twice or three times more than the people that they were, they could see it, not because they were standing still, but because they were charged up. And they were all fired up, and this is what we stand for. We stand for freedom, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to get into the face of the enemy. And here's our first slide this morning, as the victory lies within the heart of the unity of the community. If your heart doesn't form part of the community and what the community believes, there can't be unity. And that is what brings victory. So if you think of an Old Testament story something that happened just beyond our imagination, how it worked, how it could have happened. Something that's got to do with a battle cry. What story am I speaking about this morning? Does anybody have an idea? What comes to mind? Old Testament? Thank goodness. Thank you, Paul. Yes, Jericho, of course, and the fall of Jericho. The walls of Jericho. Now, there's a picture of Jericho. And they're busy doing archaeological diggings and discovering the significance of the city. Because the city is 259 meters below sea level. It's one of the oldest cities in the world today. It dates back to close to 9,000 before Christ. Okay, so where did I get that? From my ESV study Bible. Okay, it wasn't a Google search. So, the amazing thing is, Jericho was built in such a way that it was to keep safe the travelers, in a sense, from the east to the west. It was closest to one of the routes, the main routes from the east to the west. It was 6.4 kilometers from the Jordan River, 16 kilometers from the Dead Sea. And at the time when Joshua came there, it was around about 1550 before Christ. So this was a well-established city. Double walls, electric fencing, the works. You know, they had 24-hour security. Things were in place with these guys, you know. And one of the main things that we would love in our city, just to pop up all around, is they had a free-flowing fountain that generated 3,785 liters per hour. Clean, clear, crisp water. So a significant city in a sense that God knew this, but this had to be for the Israelites. So Joshua came to a place where he had to pursue this and truly trust God, because if you walk towards that city, double wall, you're not just gonna say, okay, walls down. No, absolutely not. It's built for a reason. It's built for protection. But then the word of the Lord comes to Joshua. Instruction from the Lord. And it came with a command that Joshua had to execute. So let's read Joshua 5 verse 13. And it says, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I am a commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. He encounters the commander of the army, and the next moment he receives his commandment, what he needs to do, his statement of faith. Because the people of Jericho knew that when they walked around, or when the Israelites started walking around, something was going to happen. But it portrayed already a place of victory for these guys. Because they engraved that command of what they needed to do in their hearts. They followed it with discipline and military execution to the finest detail. Because that's what God required of them. And on that, and through that, they could get the victory. Joshua 6 verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its kings and mighty men of valor." So just a quick question. If you get a word from the Lord saying that, you know, you're going to be the next CEO of MTC or something like that. Let's just take MTC because I want you to fix it. Who would be excited about it? Don't think about the massive amount of work that you're going to do, but think of the influence that you can have from a perspective of who God is in your life and what you can do. But who would love that job, that title, that sort of, wow, this is a victory in life? Absolutely, you know? I'd definitely go there. See, there's some fighting at the back there. Guys, just be, you all get your space in there, you know? If we select the right person, we can all be up there. But you see, if you receive a word from God, and God gives it to you, you engrave it in your heart, you make sure it stays there, because that's going to be your statement, your battle cry, the thing that's going to take you forward. And so when the command came, and they had to execute it, they started walking around. And I'm not going to go into all the detail, but I want to read for you Joshua 6, verse 16. That says, "And at the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Guys, does that do anything for you? No. A battle cry shows what you're feeling, what you're believing. And it's going to be something like, "Shout! For the Lord has given you the city!" There's a difference in the way that we say it, the way that we live it, because other people, that's what they see. So yes, there's a lot of shouting today. But we're not talking about our little statement of faith on paper. We're talking about a battle cry. We are in battle, day in and day out. And if you don't have your battle cry, if you don't believe your battle cry, what are you showing to the world out there? We talk about our spa voice with the kids. And this is something similar, you know, if you say to them, as we only use it on a Sunday afternoon, we encourage them to use their spa voice, you know, from around 2 to 4 in the afternoon or something. But Joshua couldn't use his spa voice. Guys, that just wouldn't gel there. It wouldn't sit right. And he had to encourage, he had to believe in his heart, and he had to encourage his fellow Israelites in such a way that they will believe it. If I tell you something and you're not convinced, hey, things are not going to happen. But if I jump up and down for joy and I know this is a thing, this is what I'm going to do, I live what I believe, you're going to feel the same, you're going to do the same. So another case, that's Joshua. So they had the victory because they had a word from God, but they had a battle cry. They knew that this word was their battle cry. "For the Lord has given you the city." And then we go to 2 Chronicles. And we look at Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And then he comes and he's faced with a nasty scenario. He's got people and enemy lines advancing towards him from all corners of his kingdom. What does he do? He doesn't line up the the army guys and say, hey, get your sword sharpened. We're going to do this thing now. No. He holds a fast and prayer day for the whole city, for the whole land. He says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to seek the Lord. And then, Yahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benai, of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. These things aren't there for our entertainment or when we read it. They are there for specific reasons, because the line of order where this comes from is so significant. But I don't want to go into that. I want to rather tell you that from verse 15 it says, and he said, so this Yahaziel got a word from the Lord for Jehoshaphat and his people through this prayer and fast. And this is what he says. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Nothing in what resembles battle cry was done in our spa voice. They could see it in their faces. They could hear it. They could feel it. And the prophecy of Jahaziel, given by the Spirit of the Lord, because that's key, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And then you got the prophecy. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Such comforting words. But see, our modern society these days have got human rights and this right and left, right, center. See, that's just what it's about. It's all about rights. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. And this gives the devil such an opportunity to come into our lives. Every right that we have to play around with is, in a sense, a right for the devil to, because if we don't perform that, or we go, you know, on the offense or the defense, in a sense, the devil has opportunity to enter our lives because of certain rights. He's a legalist. He is the best legalist ever, because he knows the law. If you do not perform, if you do not do it right, he's got a legal right into your life. And whether you want to believe it or not, it's the word. It's what the word says. But if you have a statement of faith, if you have a battle cry, then the enemy can do what he wants. Because you will stand firm on that. You will hold fast to that. You will engrave it in your heart. You will live it. And in that and through that, you can advance. The enemy can advance. Whatever is going to happen, you're going to be fixed. That's going to be a fixture in your life. That's not just a fixture. It's going to be a thing that you made part of your life. It's going to be your life. But our statement of faith shows the enemy that we are in covenant with God. And that we do not fear. You see, the thoughts in your mind, you can't control what comes in. but you can control the outcome and what you do with it. If you receive a thought, you cannot control what comes into your mind, but you can control what you do with it. You see, fear is a response and not a way of life. And I've said it many times before, and you will hear me saying it many times in the future. Do not react to situations, but respond like Jesus did. Because reaction is that impulse, but response is I have my statement of faith. And through my response, I generate a counteractive answer. So let's look at statements of faith in the Word. And the first one that comes to that I got was John 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Statement of faith. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If there's one verse that you take away from today, let it be this. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness and sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Romans 6, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And that's where I want to end off today. Say to you, what does your statement of faith say to the world? You see, the statement of faith that I have, or that I read this week, is in line with the Word of God. It is in line with the authority that God gave Shofar Christian Church. And because I submit to them, fall under that. That's part of my statement of faith, because I submit under Shofar with them in Christ. And that's what the community is about. That is what us as a family is about. We have a statement of faith. We have a battle cry for people out there. But in your personal life, that should be something that people see day in and day out. There should be no question about it. There should be no thing, if you were a bit more conservative, you would actually say, this is a private matter. Guys, God is not private. He's a living, active God that just He wants the best and everything for you. But if you make him private, you're building up walls around yourselves because you're afraid of the enemy. God is so much bigger than the walls around you. He's so much bigger than the things in your life that you worry about. If you have your statement of faith, the enemy line can be in front of you. And you're just going to stand there and say, wow, thanks guys for coming. But I will stand and I will wait upon the Lord. Because I am free because Christ has saved me already. And I want to end off by saying that our statement of faith for Shofar, there's one key thing, is that we believe in the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus Christ appointed two ordinances, baptism in water and the Lord's Supper, to be observed as acts of obedience and as a perpetual witness to the cardinal facts of the Christian faith. The baptism is the immersion of the believer in water as a confession of identification with Christ in burial and resurrection, and that the Lord's Supper is the partaking of the emblems symbolic of the Savior's broken body and shed blood in remembrance, sacrificial death until he comes. And I want you to take into remembrance what we are doing here. Jesus Christ's broken body on the cross made a way for us so that me and you can show and live that to the world. We are not restricted, we are not constrained by laws, but we have got disciplines, celebrations in our life because we are free. And if we conform to the world, we're going to do the worldly things. If we conform to Christ, we will be renewed, we will be saved, we will be cleansed. And his body was broken and his blood was shed so that me and you can have a clean robe, a clean garment of praise, of honor, of worthiness as a son of God in the Father's house. So let's just close our eyes. Father God, we stand in your presence this morning. And I thank you, Lord God, for the broken body that we do not see on the cross anymore, but Father, we see a restored body. But Father, the resemblance of that reminds us daily, Lord, of what you have done for us, Father God. You've taken the ultimate sacrifice already, Father God, and that when we stand up in every morning, Lord God, we do not have to fear, we do not have to be afraid, Father, for you have died for our sins already. And Father, thank you for your blood. And Lord God, thank you that we can pray it over ourselves daily, and that in that and through that, Lord God, we are sanctified and we are cleansed in the mighty name of Jesus. I want us to pray this morning again that God will engrave his statement of faith, his battle cry into your heart, him and for him alone. If you have never given your life to Christ, do not let this opportunity go to make things right with God this morning, to bring yourself before Christ. See, I have to wake up every morning and I have to stand here and stand before you guys and lead this congregation with a heart that says, Lord, I've given my best. I live for you only. And when I look out there and I see the lost, my heart starts to cry because I don't want to keep what I have for myself. But I want everybody else around me to have it. And you know, God doesn't look back in your life and he holds on to every bad thing that you did. He doesn't even hold on to every good thing. He cleans your page today. And he just takes it from there and he says, this is a new life. And he says, Romans 8 verse 1 over you, says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to feel worried. You don't have to feel the shame. You don't have to fear. Because there's no condemnation. But we need to understand that Romans 6:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Matthew 7, where Jesus says, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord will enter heaven. Because they will stand there and I will say to them, I don't know you. So this is just one of those things, guys. Do not walk out. Do not move if your things aren't right, if you are not right with Christ. Engrave that statement of faith today in your heart. I believe in Jesus Christ who saved me. That is my statement of faith. That is what I take out to the world. I don't have to convince people out there. I just have to live it. And that's what you must do as well. Don't walk out. Don't let us not miss that opportunity. If you know of somebody that you have this place of, I don't know how to get through to this guy. I don't know how to speak to him. I don't know. I just don't know. Invite him to church. Start by praying for him. Use your imagination and just say, Lord, I see you touching his shoulder every day. Through prayer and fasting, God gives victories. He gives a way out. Because if we bring our sincere heart before Him, our humble heart, our crushed, broken heart, He's the one that restores and He heals.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.